I was singing that hymn in my head, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And boy, that's the truth. Remember one time preaching a sermon to a bunch of preachers at a pastor's fellowship, and I was preaching on the joy in obedience. Joy and obedience. And I said, you know, we need to let our folks know that there's great joy in obedience to Christ. And I think sometimes some folks get so down in the mouth, maybe because they're not walking the Christian life the way that they know they could be. And so they're lacking that joy of the Christian life. And so there's great joy and obedience. How many enjoyed seeing Andrew and his dear wife, Naomi Adams? How many enjoyed that testimony? Praise the Lord. Listen, if you didn't get a prayer card, please write their names down. You pray for them. They're going to a tough area to minister up in the north, northeast there. And so we want to pray for them and support them with our prayers. And I think that'd be a wonderful thing. Would you take your Bibles and turn to 2 Peter chapter number 1? We're going to kick off a new Wednesday night series tonight. And the title of the series, if you write this down, comes straight from the scriptures. It is this title, Add to Your Faith. Add to Your Faith. And the title for tonight, as you can see there at the top of the handout, is I Will Not Be Negligent. I Will Not Be Negligent. And so over the next several weeks, we're going to look at this thought from 2 Peter chapter number 1. We're not going to go through the entire epistle, really just emphasizing the first 15 verses and the introduction to this epistle. But I would submit to you this, that what we're going to be looking at is essential for the Christian life. It's essential for the Christian life. And so in the previous messages, I've mentioned before many times this matter of relationship and understanding the difference between relationship and fellowship. Now the word fellowship, if you were to look in your Bibles, you'll find at least 17 occurrences in the Word of God with this term fellowship. But I discovered this, that the term relationship is not found anywhere in the Word of God. And so the term fellowship is, the term relationship is not. However, can I say this, that the concept of relationship and fellowship is certainly found all throughout the Word of God. And so I want you to realize this, that our fellowship with the Lord follows our relationship with the Lord. In other words, the relationship is first, and then the fellowship is what follows after that. Peter, in this letter, the apostle, is dealing really with the subject of fellowship, our growth in the Christian life. That's what he's addressing here in this epistle. And he's speaking to those, if you look in the first two verses, you'll see a phrase there in verse number 1. He's speaking to those who have obtained, here's the phrase, like precious faith. And so these are Christians. These are folks that already knew Jesus as their Savior and heaven's their home. And so he's speaking to those who have found like precious faith. His intention is to give these Christians an understanding, listen, of the normal path of the Christian life. Now, I will submit to you this, is that we've lived in such abnormal state for so long that the normal path of the Christian life seems way up here. But I want you to understand there's only one path that God wants us to take. There's only one standard of Christianity, and that is Christ. And so this is the normal path of the Christian life. My wife and I realized this as we were comparing how we grew up and the things that we learned after we got saved, is that we did not benefit from someone taking us aside and personally discipling us in some of the basic things of the Christian life. And that was something that was similar to both of us. But that, I don't believe, is the normal path that God has for us. I believe Christians ought to come alongside other Christians and exhort them and teach them and pass on generationally from one Christian to the next the things that God has given to us. And so I want to emphasize tonight just one particular phrase that really will set the trajectory for this entire study, and is found here in this passage, in verse number 12, where Peter says, "I will not be negligent. I will not be negligent." And so let's read together verses 1 through 15, and then we'll have a word of prayer as we think about this matter of adding to your faith. The Bible says in verse number 1, "Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given us unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." And then he goes on, he says, "And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity." He says, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things," notice, "is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he has been purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, that ye know them and be established in present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has shewed me. Moreover, I endeavor that you may be able after my decease to have these things always in your remembrance." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, as we look at these first 15 verses over the next many weeks, and as we really emphasize this adding work in the Christian life, Lord, that we would understand that your design and desire for us is an upward trend of growth in the Christian life. Father, help us to have understanding of really what Peter is speaking about here in whole. But then in part, as we look at each of these individual areas of Christian growth, Lord, would you challenge us from thy word? And Father, help us really to make distinction between relationship and fellowship. Lord, I pray it is that every Christian here would stay in constant communion and fellowship with the Lord. And Father, would you just guide us and direct us this night? Help us as we lay the foundation for the rest of this series. Lord, direct my thoughts and direct my tongue. I pray and ask these things in your son's name, amen. So Peter here is the second epistle. He's really giving some final words in whatever time God had left for him to encourage and exhort these Christians who would continue after he left the earth. And so in verse 14, you read there, if you look at it with me, Peter says this, "Knowing that shortly," he says, "I must put off this my tabernacle." What's he speaking about? He's speaking about physical death. And then he says, "even as the Lord Jesus Christ has shewed me." Now that account, if you want to look at it later, is found in John chapter number 21. It's before the Lord Jesus ascended back up into heaven. And you'll remember the time as Peter and those disciples went fishing, and there Jesus was on the shore, and then the conversation that ensued after the disciples realized that this is the Lord, and they get around Jesus, and he begins speaking specifically to Peter. And of course, we understand there was a time that Peter was greatly ashamed of when he had denied the Lord three times. And so as Jesus is speaking to Peter, he tells Peter, listen, you need to feed my sheep. This was the charge that Jesus gave to Peter the apostle. He says, feed my sheep. In other words, feed the people of God. And the Lord not only uses the word for a baby lamb in that passage, he also uses the word for full-grown sheep. And so the idea is simply this, Peter, regardless of whether they're new babes in Christ or anywhere in between, whether they're mature in Christ, the command I'm giving you is to feed my sheep, to take care of these sheep. And so at the end of that command, the Lord tells Peter of his future binding and his death in John chapter 21 and verse number 18. And he lets Peter know that, listen, when you get older, they're going to bind you and they're going to take you where you do not want to go. And so I don't know if I would like to know about the day that the Lord's taking me out of here unless he lets me know it's going to be by the rapture. But Peter had this understanding because the Lord Jesus told him this is the way it was going to be. In fact, Peter looks over at John and he says, well, what about John over there? What about him? You've told me what's going to happen to me, but what about John? And Jesus basically tells him, listen, that's my business and not yours. In other words, if I would, he abide till I come, then that is what's going to take place. But you need to be concerned with what I have told you. And I just say this just as a side note. Sometimes we get so concerned with what everybody else is supposed to be doing that guess what? We forget what we're supposed to be doing because we're so worried about everybody else but ourselves. And so Peter understood this. At this point in his life, he understood the urgency of the matter at hand. And so according to this passage, he had some kind of understanding that his time was drawing near. I don't know if he knew exactly how near it was, but he certainly understood that, listen, I don't have too much longer in this body to be able to influence and guide and direct and feed the sheep. And so under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Peter takes pen in hand and gives us these wonderful and necessary words in this last epistle. Notice what he says in verse number 13. He says, wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. I want you to consider this statement that Peter makes here in verse number 13. It is simply this. He says, I'm not going to be negligent about this thing. Now, I think this, that Peter grew tremendously in his Christian life. Of course, he walked with the Lord Jesus. He saw many mighty things. He had great successes. You remember, he is the one who declared, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And what a tremendous statement. He was the one who went up on the Mount Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John. But he was also the one who had a great many of failures in his life where he denied the Lord Jesus three times. And so he learned this, that he doesn't need to be negligent of some things. And can I tell you, point number one, if you're writing notes, fill in the blank there. Number one, there are things we ought not to neglect. There are things in our own lives that we ought not to neglect. Now, the word that's used there in that 12th verse, as Peter's saying this, it gives the idea not of completely putting it out of mind and out of sight. It gives the idea of taking something lightly, or lightly esteeming something. And so the things that God tells us we ought to take seriously and not lightly. In other words, God is not wasting his breath. God didn't just add words to the Bible to fill some pages. He's given us specific instruction on purpose because it's something we ought to take seriously. And so often it is for you and I as Christians, it's not that we do not know what we're supposed to do, but rather it's that we take some of those things that God has told us to do and we make them of lesser importance. In other words, when we stack up our list of priorities and things that we're to emphasize in our lives, or direction we're supposed to go, or how we're to spend our time, we know the things that we're to be doing, but we'll put them way down on the priority list, perhaps, and maybe lift up certain things that we want to do, or rather, in place of those things. And so Peter says here, this is one lesson I've learned. I've learned myself that there are things that God has committed to me. And what was it? Feed my sheep, feed my lambs, strengthen thy brethren. And God says, listen, you need to emphasize that in your life. You need to do those things in your life. And Peter says, listen, I've learned that I ought not to neglect that priority in my life. And I would submit to you this, is that there are things that you and I in the Christian life ought to constantly attend to. Now, you'll hear it from the pulpit all the time, read the Bible, spend time in prayer, come to the church house, witness to others, tell others about Jesus. Listen, the reason that we say that so often is because these are things we ought not to neglect. And can I tell you that one of the devices that God uses in His Word is this matter of repetition. I found this as I've studied the Word of God, that God repeats the same things over and over and over and over and over again. And what is He doing? He's emphasizing those things for my life, and He wants us to pay attention to those things. He wants us to constantly attend to those particular things. If I were to take a poll tonight and ask each one of you just individually and just go through the room, and I were to ask you this, what are the most important things for your life? What are the priorities of your life? If I were to just start right here and move around, I imagine this, that we get all kinds of different lists. We get different things that would be listed off, and we get varying lists based on, you know, where we're at in our lives and the folks around us and the things that are pressing upon us, and we get all kinds of lists. And regardless of whether or not we write down a list of those things, all of us, whether we write it down or not, in our heart and mind have a general direction that we're headed in our lives. And all of us are in that way. And so Peter here is going to give us a list. It is a divine list, and it gives us divine direction, not just for one particular child of God, but for every child of God. In other words, the list that Peter gives us applies to all of us. Praise the Lord for that. And so we don't have to worry about our station in life or our circumstances. God says, listen, I want you to give diligence to some things, and I'm going to list them out for you specifically that should generally follow the trajectory of every Christian life. And so for every one of us, we must understand this first truth, that there are things we ought not to neglect. Peter, his divine mission was undoubtedly to feed the people of God. He was charged by the Lord when he was converted to strengthen the brethren. And you and I also must not be negligent of what God has called us to do. So not only do we have things that we ought not to neglect, but if you'll write this down, number two, there are things we ought to remember. Now, how many would be willing to admit that as you've gotten older, it's harder to remember some things? It seems like for me sometimes, somebody can tell me something, and within about 5 seconds, I've forgotten it. And I'm saying, what in the world is going on here? And so if you're talking to me and I'm listening, I'm trying to listen intentively, and I'm thinking in my mind, don't forget, don't forget, don't forget, because I found that sometimes I forget some things. Listen, there's some things that Peter reminds us of in this first 15 verses that we ought to remember as we think about this path in the Christian life. And so this is good for you and I, to be reminded of certain truths. Now, listen, when we come into the church house, you might say this, wow, I've heard that preached before. I've heard this passage taught before. I've even heard these very points before, and that might be the case. But friend, can I tell you this, that we need to be constantly reminded of truth. And so we ought to thank the Lord that God constantly reminds us of those things that we need to know, because we have a tendency to forget. Let me give you some of those things. Number one, if you'll fill in this blank, first of all, Peter says this, we need to be reminded of the blessings of the Christian life. The blessings of the Christian life. Notice in verse number 4, he says this. He says, whereby are given unto us. Don't you like that pronoun, us? Listen, that speaks to us as Christians. Whereby are given unto us, what does he say there? Exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So Peter mentions here concerning our walk of faith in the Christian life, the blessings of the Christian life. Peter reminds us that as we walk in God's ways, we've been given exceeding great and precious promises. Now I want you to get this, because this is a superlative here. He doesn't say that we're just given great promises. Now that'd be good enough. And I think this, man, the Christian life is great. But Peter is using the language as best as he can to tell us this. This is not just great. This is gooder than great, if you allow me to use that language. This is greater than great. This is exceeding great and precious promises. In other words, it just boggles the mind how good God is to us. And I tell you what, when you get to understand this, how much God has blessed us and continues to bless us and pours out his grace upon us, boy, that's a motivator in the Christian life. That ought to get you to stand up and shout. One of those promises, by the way, is listed in this very epistle. Turn over to chapter number 3. I want you to see it here in verse number 13, because it pertains to something we just preached on recently. The Bible says in verse number 13, if you look there, he says, nevertheless, we, notice the language, according to his promise. Whose? God's. The Lord's promise. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for, what are we looking for? A new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth, guess what? Righteousness. Amen. I tell you what, that gets me excited, because I'm tired of seeing the filth in this world. I'm tired of seeing creation groaning and moaning because of the shackles of sin and the fallen state that the world's in. Friend, can I tell you there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth one day wherein dwelleth nothing but righteousness. Boy, that's a wonderful promise, isn't it? That one day all of these things will be set right. And I tell you this, that a great motivator in the Christian life is the blessings of the Christian life. The truth is, if we were to search the scriptures, here's what you discover. As one expositor put it, there is a promise for every need that you and I have. There's a promise for every need that you and I could probably possibly have. In fact, in this very epistle, the Bible says that God has given to us all things. That's all things that pertain unto life and unto godliness, right? And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And so these promises can be stood upon, not because Pastor James is making them, not because someone you trust is making them, but because God himself is making those promises. And listen, the one who gave them to us cannot change, and he cannot lie. And so because they're given to us by God, here's what we can do. We can wholly rely upon them. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 1:20, this wonderful verse, it says, for all the promises of God in him, that's Jesus, are yea, and in him are amen, so be it, unto the glory of God by us. I'm so glad that all the promises in Christ are yes, and so be it in the Christian life. And so we must remember and be reminded often of the blessings of the Christian life. Listen, sometimes we might look on our face like Christianity is the worst thing that ever happened to us. But my friend, the blessings of the Christian life, we need to remember how blessed we truly are. But then secondly, Peter says this, we not only to remember the blessings of the Christian life, but here's your blank, the blossoming of the Christian life. The blossoming of the Christian life. Verse 5 through 8, we're going to spend some time here, and really the bulk of what we're going to be looking at will be on all these things that you add to your faith. Now, Peter gives a list of areas of growth in the Christian life. And you can kind of see in the top right, I made a little graphic up there. You can kind of see bricks as they're laid. And at the bottom, the base of it is our faith, faith in Jesus Christ. And in other words, our salvation is the foundation. And from there, we do what? We add to our faith. And God says, listen, these are all things you need to be added to that base of faith that we have in Christ. We're going to spend time in these areas because it's profitable for you and I to know exactly what these things are. But suffice to say this, Peter tells us not only the things we need to add to our faith, but listen, he goes even a step further. Aren't you glad when God tells you why after he tells you what? He tells you what to do, but then he tells you why. And listen, the Lord tells us the why behind the do here in verse number 8. Look at it with me in verse number 8. He says, for if these things be in you and abound, that means to increase, then make you that you should neither be, notice this, barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm pretty sure every Christian here tonight would say this, I want to be fruitful in the knowledge of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I think it's important of this statement is seen in the design that God has for every one of us as a child of God. You say, what's that design? Here it is, fruit bearing. God's design for every Christian is fruit bearing. Now, we would say this, that why are we here? We're to bring glory to God. That's a true statement. There's no doubt about it. But notice what Jesus said about bringing glory to God. You say, well, that sounds good, but how do we bring glory to God? Jesus tells us, John 15:8, here's what he says. Herein is my Father glorified. How is he glorified? That you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. In other words, the fruit of the Spirit, which we could name that off probably tonight, the fruit of souls, which we understand, people getting saved. These are the things that God designed for the normal Christian. That's the normal path of the Christian, to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, to bring glory to the Father. How? Through how we live and how we walk and how we talk. And so Peter reminds us not only of the blessings of the Christian life, but he tells us of the blossoming of the Christian life, says you need to remember this. But then thirdly, write this down, the battling of the Christian life. The battling of the Christian life. Verse 9 and 10, you'll see it there. He says, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten, who is purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Now, I want you to understand that election in the Word of God is not a word that we need to shy away from or be scared of. It has to do with the foreknowledge of God, and it's not something you and I need to be afraid of. Listen, I'm not omniscient, but God is. He knows. He knows all. And so there's a battle that takes place in the Christian life. And friend, let us be reminded tonight, once you listen carefully, there are consequences for not growing in the Christian life. Now, some people think this, that listen, the Christian life, here's the problem with that. You get saved, you're born again, your sin debt's paid for, past, present, future. You can just live however you want. You can live all your days and do whatever you want, and there's just no consequences. That's not true. There are consequences for not growing in the Christian life. Oh, by the way, one of those consequences in the life of a Christian is they'll be miserable. There's no doubt about that because there's a wrestling going on between the flesh and the spirit. And yeah, there's pleasure of sin for a season, but can I tell you it's only for a season? And I'll tell you about the shipwreck that happens after that. And so understand this, that there are consequences. And this is what Peter says. There's a battle going on inside of every one of us. And there's a battle that's going on all around us. It's not only internal, but it's external. In other words, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. There's a battle going on both inside, between the flesh and the spirit, and outside with spiritual wickedness. And so we understand that there's some consequences. What are the consequences that Peter tells us? He gives us three of them. I want you to write these down, fill in the blank. Number one, the first consequence is the danger of blindness. The danger of blindness. 2 Peter 1:9, you'll notice there in verse number 9, he says, but he that lacketh these things, here's what he says, is blind. Now this blindness prevents someone from seeing afar off. It prevents someone. You remember we preached about the faithful view of the Christian life? You know, the faithful view of the Christian life is not only living in the present, but it's in the context of understanding what the life shall be in the future. We understand there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. We understand one day we're going to get a new body. Praise the Lord for that. Hey, it's the faithful view of the Christian life. It's the long view. We know not only what we're supposed to be doing now, but we know what the future holds. And Peter says, listen, if you don't grow in the Christian life, you're going to be blinded to those things that are what? Far off. You're going to miss it. You're going to miss it. Seeing it. You're going to be blinded to it. And so this blindness prevents us. And we think we're looking to Jesus, and we see yet off in the future the expected end of the child of God. We know one day there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. We know one day Jesus is coming again. We know one day that he'll rule and reign for 1,000 years here on this earth. We know that we have a body that is going to be given to us, because this body that we have now is not fit for eternity and not fit for heaven. We know that the adversary, the devil, is laying snares and traps for us. And Peter says this, you need to remember this. If you quit growing and moving forward in the Christian life, you're going to suffer a case of blindness. And so Peter reveals to us not only someone blind if they don't add to their faith, but then there's another danger. Number two, if you write this down, a danger of insecurity. A danger of blindness, but a danger of insecurity. Now, this is seen oftentimes in the life of Christians when we speak to them, and they begin to doubt the very fact that whether or not they're saved. And friend, that's a tough place to be in. And sometimes, they'll come ask for counsel, and we just take them to the pages of Scripture and say, hey, listen, this is what God says in His Word, and have you done what God says in His Word, yes or no? That's between you and the Lord, and only you can know that, and the Holy Spirit of God bearing witness in your heart about that. And so, listen, I've seen it time and time again where someone will come to me, and they'll be in this way of insecurity. And Peter says this, Christians not only experience blindness when they quit growing, but they even begin to doubt that they've been purged from their old sins. In other words, they're on insecure ground. Might say things like this, I don't feel like a Christian today. And there's no wonder that you're not feeling like a Christian if you're not living the Christian life. And so we see this matter is serious in so much that Peter says this, we need to give diligence to this. We need to set our heart and mind towards this. He mentions in verse 5, he says, listen, besides this, giving all diligence add to your faith. And then if that weren't enough, he mentions it again in verse number 10. If you look at it there, he says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Now this is such a serious subject. He says, not only is there the danger of blindness, the danger of insecurity, but notice this, the danger of instability. Instability. Verse 10 tells us that if we add to our faith, notice it, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling, election, and sure. Notice what he says, for if you do these things, he says, ye shall never fall. We're protected from falling in the Christian life if we continue on a path of adding to our faith and abounding in it. Now the question becomes this, what is meant by the term falling? What is meant by the term falling? And some folks will come to this part in the passage and they'll be like, oh, no, this means I'm going to lose my salvation. Friend, can I assure you tonight that you cannot lose your salvation? That has to do with a relationship. You can't be unborn. And so we're born into the family of God. This is not what Peter is talking about. Let me give you three reasons why it's impossible for you to lose your salvation. Number one, your salvation is based on the Word of God. And friend, when you start feeling not like a Christian, go to the Word of God. Go see what the Bible has to say. Because our salvation is not based on feelings, it's based on the Word of God. And so the Word of God tells us that God has promised, it cannot lie, that everlasting life is the reality of all those who believe and receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's the reality. Not only is it based on the Word of God, but can I give you another one? It rests upon the work of God. The work of God. And so this isn't something that we work for. This is something that Christ has done for us, that God has done for us. We understand that Jesus paid our sin debt on the cross of Calvary. He died for us. He was buried. He rose again. He rose again from the grave for our justification, the Bible says. You remember on the cross, Jesus declared this, "It is finished." What? The work of redemption is finished, and paying the sin debt for mankind is finished. It's dealt with. It's been paid for. And so it rests upon the Word of God, the work of God. And then can I say another one? It rests upon the unchanging will of God. The unchanging will of God. The will of God is this, that men should be saved and come into knowledge of the truth. Friends, I'm not the one who set the rules. God's the one who set the rules. And so I'm not the one who designed salvation. God's the one who designed salvation. And so, I'm not the one you're going to be reporting to when you step from this life to the next. God's the one you're going to stand before when we move from this life to the next. And so the will of God is that men should be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. This is God's design. It is His will. But what is meant here? It's meant here that you and I can certainly stumble. There's no doubt about it. And friend, you'll see Christians all the time get off the path of growth, and they'll stumble around in blindness. They'll stumble around in sinfulness. And so we can cease to walk with our Savior in fellowship with Him. Our relationship cannot change, but our fellowship certainly can. And I want you to understand, we can become unprofitable. Unprofitable. In the language of this passage, we can become unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, we're supposed to produce fruit in the Christian life. We can become unfruitful in our knowledge of the Lord and Savior. We can become ineffective in this life. And by the way, can I tell you this? This is the devil's design. This is what he wants to do to every Christian that's out there. He knows that you're eternally secure. He knows that you're saved by the blood of Christ. He knows this. He knows that heaven's your home. But what can he do? Get you off the path, make you ineffective for Christ. Hey, listen, if I can cut the church numbers in half, that's half as many gospel tracts going out. And that's the devil's game. And so we see by the introduction of this series, Peter says, hey, you need to remember the blessings of the Christian life. You need to remember the blossoming of the Christian life. You need to remember the battle of the Christian life. But then lastly, we need to remember the brevity of life. The brevity of life. Verse 14 and 15, Peter says, beginning in verse 13, he reminds us, knowing this shortly, I must put off this tabernacle. Friends, it's vitally important for us to remember that our time here on this earth is just for a moment. The more I live, the faster it seems to go. And the brevity of life oftentimes is not considered by us moment to moment or day by day. And so Peter says this, we need to be reminded of this, reminded of the brevity of life. And so we all must step from this life into the next. There's no doubt every one of us at some point are going to step from this life to the next. The question is when? And we don't know what tomorrow holds. So I think we're going to stop there for tonight. I want to encourage you to continue in your journey of faith. How do you do that? You learn how to add to your faith. Add to your faith. What? So we may grow and abound in these things, increase in these things. And at the same time, we're abounding and increasing and growing in the Christian faith. At the same time, we'll avoid the great danger and pitfalls of the Christian life. And so Peter says, I want you to understand, we're not to be negligent in all that God has given us to do. And let us add to our faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father.